live from Tampa Bay, USA. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
In store, love is the drug, and I need to score. Showing up, showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl, where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake me. Love is the drug, got a hook on me. Oh, catch that buzz. Love is the drug I'm thinking.
You beautiful humans, this is Glenn Klein Online. It's Wednesday. It would be hump day, June 27, 2012, the only last Wednesday of June 2012 in the history of the world. The prescription, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in on this edition of the Good News on Glenn Klein Online. Yes, that is what we need, some good loving. And that is what we provide for you each and every Wednesday night on this here radio station. Sean O'Halloran in studio to my direct right, taking the calls at 813-425-5773. That is the worldwide in-studio number. Here in the Glenn Klein Online Studios in the Tampa Bay region of FLA in the U.S. of A, 813-425-5773, or you in North America can call the Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Well, what we do, ladies and gentlemen, and you have grown accustomed to it, hopefully at this point, is provide uplifting information, good news, if you will. And we want your participation as well. We got a lot to talk about tonight, a lot to get to as we continue down this road of the good news of the gospel. Remember when I was talking at first to Dina Lynn, and she was very hesitant, as she is, about embracing things, scriptural things, Christian, if you will. Words like gospel, words like scripture, words like Christ. And she made the point to me that those words are strictly a cultural phenomenon, that there's really nothing spiritual about them. And I challenged her that what we were finding within our effort, known as the Gospel Revolution at the time, that it way crossed cultural divides. We were finding tremendous results and effect of the gospel, however you want to translate it, into any language, into places like Hong Kong and the Philippines and Kenya, Africa, Ireland, Australia. Had really nothing to do with culture at all. The issue, ladies and gentlemen, is the gospel, is the prophesied Jewish Messiah, and the whole story starting in the book of Genesis, is that spiritual, and is that divinely inspired? We're going to be getting into that as the program rolls on in our Best of Mike Williams segment, and we're also going to be talking about the Worst of Mike Williams segment, as we're in the fourth night, the fourth webcast of the Good News on Glenn Klein Online, because Michael fired my ass unceremoniously. You guys who have followed the webcast prior to us going online a month ago with this latest effort to know exactly what happened. We'll be talking a little bit about that. And I have my compatriot online with me. Please welcome the senior correspondent of the Good News on Glenn Klein from the great Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio. Please say hello to Mr. Greg Amperke. Gregory!
How do you get to be a senior correspondent? You've only had like three shows.
This is four, buddy.
This is four?
Yeah.
Or are you counting the one that the people haven't heard yet that you taped?
No, this is number four.
This is number four. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
We've actually been doing this a month.
If we've been doing it, I'm sure then. I just woke up from a nap. Can you tell?
No, you actually, your voice does sound a little bit more resonated than normal. So it's actually a good thing. You should take a nap before every time you come on. You sound more professional, but you're not going to be yawning on me. You're not going to be yawning on me.
I just did.
I'm saying you're not going to be.
I can yawn if I want to.
You can yawn if you want to. You are a senior correspondent because we know that you have gray pubic hair.
See, you're offending me now, and how I was going to have my mother listen to the show, and now I'm going to have to excommunicate you, Glenn, and start my own show.
Dude, wait a minute. You're telling me that your mother would be offended to knowing that her over half a century old son has gray pubic hair?
Probably, yes.
But this is the woman that colors your facial hair and your hair for you.
Well, thanks for letting that out.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious, brah. All you got to do is go onto your Facebook page and see the disintegration of your hair color. And then all of a sudden, a week later, it's rejuvenated.
I hate you.
I love when that happens. I had my hair color today. I'm going to Southern California in a matter of hours. I'm going to visit my son Jacob in beautiful SoCal, as well as my parents in Calabasas, California, this next week. Our next week's show on July 4th, you guys, has already been recorded. Greg has had a sneak preview with our special guest, Chris Harrington, on Chris Harrington's Reality. That's what we're calling the show next week. Would it be safe to say that folks would do well not to miss that program?
I would not miss that program. I think that would be... the Chris Harrington's Reality is... it's comparable with the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Wow. That is very high praise from the bass player and vocalist of the Danny Frazier Band in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Thank you very much. No, I thought it was great. I thought there was a lot of really cool insight that came out of that. And it was a very interesting show. Chris is a very interesting guy.
Right, and he's got some great insight. And we're the theme next week, you guys, on July 4th on Independence Day here in the United States of America is freedom and liberty. And we utilized what's going on with the Gospel Revolution and with your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host. We actually were able to find I wasn't looking for it, frankly. We were able to find a direct quote from Michael. That's our Best of Mike segment next week. About freedom on the radio, and we were in the middle of an email extravaganza, and Mike answered a criticism. This was just a few months ago. And then out of the blue, of course, without any warning, I got fired it was 4 weeks ago last Saturday. 4 weeks ago tonight was our first Glenn Klein Online Good News program. And this has been a time of therapy for me and for a number of people. The people have been venting, dude. I mean, it's been really interesting. Here's an email that came through from Don Wynn. Speaking of venting, this is Don Wynn from Wasilla, Alaska. He says, "Congratulations. What a wonderful defense of yourself in all your righteous glory. For years, you have proclaimed that the only hope and solution to the world's multiple conflicts is the gospel. You have been meditating on the gospel daily for years. Yet, you cannot bring yourself to modify your behavior for 1 hour a week for the gospel's sake. You gotta be kidding me. I have no idea what one, O-N-E, means. Humanity is doomed." That's from Don Wynn from Wasilla, Alaska. Well, Don, everything you said is true. I still completely believe that we are one, that the gospel does produce incredible peace and stability in one's soul when meditated upon. And I don't think humanity is doomed, Greg. I really don't. We just because we have a little blip here in the gospel revolution doesn't mean that humanity is doomed. We have some. We're going to be talking about what I have observed by staying in the gospel during this time. Some pretty interesting stuff about myself, about Michael, about people's reaction, even Don Wynn's reaction, Gregory.
Well, Don sort of represented. Do you remember about 6 months ago? It was probably 6 months ago. When you called me up one day and asked me what I thought of the show, and I said, "Ooh, getting really culty on me here, Glenn." Do you remember that?
Yeah, we honored Michael's birthday. That was more than
they
that,
honored Mike on his birthday.
Right,
people were calling in and gushing so much about Mike's the only one that brings the gospel. He's the only one that God could have used to tell anybody the gospel. And I wanted to throw up, and I called you guys out on it. And I said, it sounds like a cult now. And you know, I know because I've been in one. I know what a cult's like. So, you know, to me, Don's reaction is sort of,
It's kind of cultish, isn't it?
It's a little culty.
It's a little culty. No, I get that, and it's been really.
And to Mike's credit, Mike wasn't egging that on or anything. That was just a bunch of people that listened to the gospel that they were behaving in such a way that it made it seem like, you know, they were worshiping Mike.
No, I'm the one that egged it on, dude. I'm the one that encouraged it.
Yeah, Mike wasn't. I'm not saying Mike was trying to bring that on.
No, he wasn't. But Mike was enjoying it, frankly. And the reason that I was encouraging was because I feel that he deserved it. That he has been so disrespected personally throughout his career that I set about over, well, my experience with the gospel revolution that came to a very public end a month ago, I set about to make sure that he was honored as effectively and especially. And so, yes, it might have been a little over the top, but I didn't care because I thought he deserved it. And you guys, we're going to be talking about this evening so much about what Mike has taught and how effective it is. This is huge in the aspect of what the good news, what the gospel does. Greg, you and I have been incredible beneficiaries of the gospel and the message as articulated by Michael L. Williams.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. It's been a life-changing experience to just to be friends with you and Mike and to be able to bounce things off of them and just of you guys, especially Mike, and listen to on these webcasts, some of the wisdom that's come forth has been it's been great.
Well, we have an email now from Paul, our dear brother in the UK. He said, "Hi, Glenn. Perhaps the split with Mike Williams is a blessing in disguise. Now we get to hear two webcasts each week instead of one. The gospel gets twice as much time on the web. It must be a good thing. I look forward to hearing your new show as well as Mike's. Thanks for all you did with Mike. The pair of you achieved so much and helped save so many people. Best wishes, Paul, in the UK." Paul, we could have still had two webcasts. There is 100 different ways this could have been done. But one of the things that I have observed is that the way that this was done was so reminiscent of how we were excommunicated and ostracized in Christianity, it's not even funny. I'm going to be getting into that as the webcast rolls on. You guys, there's insight. Here's the thing that we learned from Michael's teaching, is that in Adam, God chose to impute sin to the entire human race. Everybody after Adam was a sinner, not because of what they did, but because of what Adam did. And that is the teaching that is sound doctrine in every Christian Bible school. That was kind of out of place in Robert Moore. I haven't said Robert Moore in 4 weeks. I'm really pissed about that. But Robert Moore, what a precious guy that guy is, with a phenomenal job he did on the commercials and the intro and stuff. The one commercial that has Mike talking about, and then Michael says, "That is sound doctrine in every Bible school in the world." That's what he's talking about, is that sin was imputed to every person after Adam by God. God just chose to impute sin after Adam's fall in the Garden of Eden. But
yes, everybody believes the first half of the equation.
Exactly. But
for as an Adam, all die.
Yeah.
All Christian organizations believe that.
Right. But what's the second part of the equation?
So in Christ shall all be made alive.
Mm. You guys get that?
For as an Adam, all die.
Right. Everybody was declared unrighteous because of Adam. And in the last Adam, because of Yeshua, because of Christ, everybody was declared righteous. God imputed 4 aspects of righteousness: righteousness, sanctification, redemption.
Evangelical Christianity doesn't believe in a last Adam. They believe that we are the last Adam, basically, if you break it down, because they believe that Jesus only brought it back to where it was so that we could mess it up again through our own works and our choosing or not choosing Jesus. So we are actually the last Adam to most evangelicals, if you think about it.
Very, very good point. However, biblically speaking, and in the concept that is derived from the scriptures that was revealed and taught in the New Testament writings by the Apostle Paul, is that Yeshua, Jesus, was that last Adam. It's incredibly logical, and oh my God, we're going to be talking about, when we get to the best of Mike's segment later on, where Mike talks about the divine nature of the scriptures, why that is so important. And I couldn't, and I still have not been able to get that through to Dina yet. Maybe I never will. It doesn't make a difference as far as her or nobody else's eternal destination. But I want to stay with this topic right now, is that the effect of the gospel, knowing that we have had this righteousness as those before the cross had sin imputed to them. We've had righteousness, you guys, and redemption and sanctification and wisdom imputed into our very fibers. And the question
is, better, isn't it?
It's way better. It's a way better testament, if you will. It's a new testament. It's a new way. It's the way. And you guys, we can tap into that all the time. I learned this from Mike. I learned this from Michael Williams by listening to him and meditating and talking to him about this. He is the founder of the gospel revolution, but he really, really screwed up a month ago. He really effed up. And you guys need to know that. He screwed up big time.
That's what makes it cool about the gospel. You can screw up and still be right in the same place you were before.
Exactly, because you guys, Michael's standing in Christ is not based on how he behaves towards me or you or himself or anybody else. It's based strictly on the work at the cross. His teaching is not invalid because he really, really screwed up a month ago. Now, the gospel revolution, I believe, is off the rails right now on some level. And it could come back. I've seen this in my life. Michael talked about this in one of his newsletters that came in the wake of all this. He called me the champion of relationships and broken relationships. I know what to do and how to bring this back. But you guys have to understand something. The reaction of these guys, and I'm talking about Mike, I'm talking about Jeff Robertson, I'm talking about Barris Bartlett, who I've worked for scores of hours on the newgospelrevolution.com website. These guys have not contacted me once since this all happened. Do you know how absurd that is? Do you know how
I'm so familiar with my exit from my last church?
I have heard from so few people that are in the know that I've left messages to people that I care about and I know care about me, but this is so incredibly parallel to what you and I all over the planet experienced once we came out of Christianity. You know why? Because people are not finding their sense of well-being and their sense of identity in Christ. They're finding it in everything else. How in the world can you not reach out to me? How in the world can you not send an email of warmth and support for somebody that you love in a moment of obvious anguish? I've observed this, you guys. I've watched myself go through this. I've watched you go through this. I have had some wonderful emails. We had an email come through today. Actually, it was a Facebook post from Brian Foley. Brian and I met here in Brandon. He was here with his family coming through before they moved to Ireland. And here is what Brian wrote on the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution webpage, or on Facebook, rather. This is so well stated. It's 4:39 here in the morning in Dublin, and I can't sleep, so I decided to check my email and came across my good friend Glenn Klein's latest good news email entitled, What I've Observed. So I read it. I have been following Mike's ministry for about 12 years now, and from the first time that I started listening to Mike, I loved his heart and passion for truth and, of course, the gospel. For about 3 years, day and night, I devoured the Bible around Mike's teachings, which greatly helped me find my way out of the insanity, which is, in my opinion, the theology of fundamental evangelical Christianity. I have listened to almost every webcast for about 7 years and have always loved the banter between Mike and Glenn. So I have said all this to try and express what I am feeling about Glenn's latest email. It bothers me that after a month that Mike has still not contacted Glenn and properly addressed this total mess, not just on Glenn's behalf, but on behalf of the gospel and people who have listened faithfully and have supported the message. Some have criticized that Glenn's blue humor could be viewed as offensive to their children and friends. But honestly, what sort of example is Mike being to the children and others who have listened by the way he is handling this situation? I find no grace and peace in the way Mike, who is the president leader, has treated Glenn and handled this. It has left a sour taste in my mouth. Night, night, Brian Foley from Dublin, Ireland. Greg, you asked me the other night, you said, having gone through this, do I want to say gospel schmashbel at this point? And what did I say to you?
Well, you said no. I don't remember exactly what your response was, but it was the gospel, you're going to meditate on the gospel more as you're working through a crisis.
The gospel is the truth, you guys. Mike Williams is not the truth. Glenn Klein is not the truth. Greg Amberge is not the truth. Sean O'Halloran's the truth. Sean's the truth. But other than that, the gospel is the truth. You guys, I know. Are you kidding me? The gospel is unto the salvation of our souls. I, I would no sooner do without the gospel than I would without my brain or without breath. And I honor the man who delivered it to me. So blessed. But he screwed up big time, dudes and dudettes. This email came in today from Danny Minasconians from Southern California. He said, "Hi, Glenn. Just wanted to let you know that I'm sorry to hear that Mike separated himself from Glenn Klein Online. I find it strange that so many people say they couldn't recommend the webcast to their family and friends because of your supposedly off-color remarks. I understand that they're afraid that their Christian friends will write it off if they hear talk about sex or curse words. But Christians need to grow up, especially since you and I both know that Christians still have sexual thoughts and do curse no matter how legalistic their doctrine is. I also agree with you that you never even talked about the R-rated stuff near as much as they said you did. I'm hoping that this will pass and maybe one day we'll get the regular webcast back. I'm enjoying your show, your new shows nonetheless." Really appreciate that from Danny Minasconians. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, that was good. Do we have some more from the guy in Wasilla? I like how he just goes at you like that. I think that's funny.
Well, I'm gonna.
Hey, guy in Wasilla, send some more emails. I'm really enjoying them.
That's Don Don Wynn from Wasilla.
Don, yes.
Yeah, but here you'll enjoy this. this comes from the Aristotle of the Gospel Revolution, my self-proclaimed title for Scott Johnson. He said Peter and Paul had to break up. I don't know if he means Peter and Paul from Peter, Paul, and Mary, but Peter and Paul never were together, number one. They were at each other's throats pretty much from day one. He said, "I'm sorry to hear that you and Mike broke up. These are painful times. Grace and peace. Focus on your wife. She respects you. I know it." Of course, I haven't been married in over 8 years. But he says, "Focus on your wife. She respects you. I know it." He says, "Fuck you and your goddamn religion, Scott." I don't know. I know Scott Johnson pretty well. I don't know if he was kidding there or not. What do you think, Gregory?
No, I think that was Scott's way of saying he loves you.
You do?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, I don't know Scott. Just from listening to him talk, I think that's how he expresses, that's how he expresses love.
I responded to Scott this way. I said, "Thanks so much for touching base, Scotty, and fuck you and your goddamn religion as well, sir." So,
wow.
So I took liberty with Scotty as well. Scott Johnson, one of the great outrageous church raiders of all time, being influenced by Mike about 20, 25 years ago. You guys have heard the story. You've heard Scott Johnson on the Gospel Revolution webcast. And now online with us, joining us, the aforementioned gentleman from Southern California who graces with that email. Please welcome online Danny Minasconians. Danny!
Good evening, Brother Glenn.
Danny, all right, here's what happens, you guys. Danny calls me about an hour before the show.
Yeah, that's right.
And he says, "Glenn, this is Mike Williams." I knew you were lying.
Yeah, I did. And it didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
He knew exactly who it was.
I knew who it was. How you doing, my brother?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderfully. Say hello to Greg.
Hey, Greg. How are you?
Danny, I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good. I just want to say I really loved what you said there. According to Christianity, we're the last Adam. So they completely skipped over Jesus, and they make us responsible for the fate of the world, completely turning everything
up on
his head.
Basically, they say all Jesus did was kind of he kind of erased the slate clean from Adam and then allowed us to screw it all up again ourselves.
Screw it all up, yeah, once again, right.
That is, you know, that's a really powerful thing. I think that might need to be the title of the show tonight. Write that down, Seanage. According to Christianity, we'll edit this later, we are the last Adam. Danny, I'm so glad you called because while there has been very few people to reach out to us during this time, which as we get towards the end of the program, we're going to get into what I have observed. We got to get into the best of Mike segment as well. But I'm so glad you called because there are people all over the planet, whether they're listening to this program, Mike's program, or both or neither now, that are really pretty troubled by any time there's a divorce or a split in any kind of family or organization or institution that seemed cohesive at the time. People don't know what to make of that. So here you are you're kind of out there in Southern California listening. You're involved. You're plugged in. You've been paying attention. What do you make of all this?
I don't know. To me, like I said in my email, you know, I never really thought any, you know, the off-color remarks or R-rated stuff that they talked about. I discovered the webcast, I think, in April of last year, because I think earlier in 2011 I was moving more into a Christian universalist, kind of an ultimate reconciliation view.
Right.
And then eventually I found a blog called Bold Grace, which was run by George Howell and a few others.
Right.
And then I clicked on the audio section there, and then I started hearing Mike stuff. Then after that, I told you, remember that tantalism.com thing?
Right.
Then I heard that. I'm like, hey, Mike Williams, I know who this is. And then I started listening to the webcast, and I couldn't get enough of it. I mean, as soon as I discovered it, sometimes I listened to like two or three webcasts from the archives. And then finally I came around to, you know, the conclusion everyone's already been redeemed. There's no future hell of any duration because, you know, a lot of the universalists say, well, you know, hell is age-lasting, you know, based on that Greek word eternal, and then after that everybody would be saved. But then, you know, I finally came to understand, though, it's already done. The reconciliations happen, and then, of course, learn the difference between redemption and salvation. So that was a major help.
Right. Bro, because you've traveled a little bit around the Internet and surfed the World Wide Web on these topics, how solid was the information and the sharing, both from the webcast and whatever else you heard from the Gospel Revolution?
Right. Well, it didn't get more solid, you know. It was just a matter of, you know, what resonates with your heart. And, you know, the gospel resonated with my heart in a way Christianity never did. I mean, from age 14, you know, I was in charismatic churches and, you know, all the hellfire teaching and, you know, the praying the sinner's prayer. And they would even do those plays where, you know, people were getting caught in hell. They'd have people dressed up in black pulling people into hell. So that had a very negative effect on me all the time. So, you know, I would pray the sinner's prayer just about every Sunday just to make sure I really got it right this time.
Right.
You know? And then...
But, dude,
you know,
the pastors
would always preach there. Yeah, go ahead.
The Gospel Revolution and what we were doing on the webcast was so... It was revolutionary. And now... What's coming out of Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution is pablum. And it's like it has been it's like it's been injured. And I do not have the capacity to produce the kind of wisdom and the insight that Michael does. Now, the gospel is going to go on. The Gospel Revolution has been seriously, seriously hindered because of this. I always said that the Gospel Revolution was scandal-proof because our ability to teach the gospel is not based on any action or behavior or deed, and that is true as far as the gospel is concerned. But the effort known as the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries, Greg, it's been stunted. I mean, because the human factor came in a big way, and people tapped in to their humanity versus their divinity, which everybody has, during a critical moment of about, oh, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 hours that occurred on a Saturday. I'll tell you exactly when it was. Let's see.
Well, Glenn, let me...
June 2nd it was. Go ahead.
Okay. Can I jump in here?
Please.
I'm sad over this for Mike, because I'll tell you what he's left with. He's left with people like Jeff Robertson, who's a gay man, who apparently they're going to whitewash the fact that Mike is a gay man on these broadcasts they do so that Christians will not get offended, because trust me, I'm close enough to evangelical Christianity. I've got hundreds of friends on Facebook that, you know, that live and die as evangelicals. The thing they hate more than anything else in the world is homosexuality.
More than
murdering.
They hate homosexuality more than a sexual innuendo.
A little bit, yes. And I'm sad for Mike, because eventually, if this is the way he's going, he's going to have to start pretending he's somebody he's not. And that's sad, because that's the whole essence of the gospel. And he's going to have to,
right.
You know, if they're going to whitewash that in order to make it palpable for Christians, and Mike's going to pretend that he's not a gay man, then what's the point in even having a broadcast anyway?
Well,
because it's all a sham.
Well,
the whole thing is a sham.
He hasn't said that he's going to pretend that he's not a gay man by any means.
The people that are encouraging him this way, that's eventually what they're going to require of him.
Well, I can't say that. I mean, you have every right to say that, Greg.
That's my opinion.
You have every right to your opinion. I will say this, that what they were asking me to do, apparently, and what a number of people that Mike called up on that Saturday, June 2nd, where he was getting feedback. He wasn't listening to the gospel, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, he didn't call me.
No, he didn't call you. He didn't call Pep. He didn't. Danny, did you get a call from Mike?
I've never actually talked to Mike.
Okay.
I have his number.
Okay,
I could give him a call if you want.
He didn't call Danny. He didn't call Pep Washburn. Sean, he called you to just tell you it was over, right?
Yeah.
He just said, what did he say to you when he called you? Now, Sean knew before I knew, and I never got a call, but you got a call, right, Sean?
Yeah.
Did you get a call from Mike or from Jeff?
From Mike.
Uh-huh. What did he say? Yeah, you're on. I hear you.
Sorry about that, everybody. I was muted.
Okay. You muted. You were muted. What did Mike say?
In what regard?
He just told you that the thing wasn't going to continue?
Yeah. He just said that he had talked to some people and gotten some people's opinions, and they were of the mindset that he should continue on without you.
Right. And did he ask you your opinion about it?
No.
No. So he didn't ask Sean's opinion, didn't ask Greg's opinion, didn't ask Danny Minascagna's opinion, didn't ask Pep Washburn's opinion. He didn't ask my opinion, you guys. I still haven't talked to Michael. That's what Brian was talking about in his email or his post on the Friends of...
Well, nobody ever had to ask for your opinion. You've always got it out there anyway.
He didn't even call me. I appreciate that, Greg. Danny, we have had so many incredible, profound things that have come across the webcast and through the newsletters that Michael and I have worked together on over these years. And in the wake of all this, here you are in Southern California, relatively new in the gospel. The gospel revolution has been going on for over 20, 25 years now, but the webcast...
It's only been just about a year for me, right?
Yeah, so what are your thoughts this evening about this whole scenario, based on your Christian experience and based on what you've seen with this thing?
Well, I mean, it's funny, you know, you guys had a 6-7 year run, and then all of a sudden, after 7 years, you know, Mike said... You know, it's kind of like they're all saying, after all this time, we really couldn't recommend the webcast to family and friends, which I found kind of strange, because I've sent the webcast links out to plenty of legalistic Christians I know from a very specific denomination, too, even though they wouldn't call themselves a denomination.
These guys that are criticizing me are the ones that have been listening to the web. They said that they're criticizing me because they were legalistic Christians themselves.
Right.
I was a legalistic Christian. Greg, were you a legalistic Christian?
I was the chief legalistic Christian.
I think that probably Brian Foley would agree that he was a legalistic. Guys, what Mike was asking me to do was to completely be not me. I did tone it down, Don Wynn from Wasilla, Alaska. And if you guys,
this is exactly, you know, what... You know, the whole revolution is, I know you're supposed to be yourself. That's what this gospel frees you to do. But now when they're telling you, oh, no, we got to, you know, satisfy the Christians on the other end, it's kind of going against everything the gospel revolution's about.
Well, apparently not, because the president and founder of the gospel revolution decided differently. I have heard from so few people who were so precious to me, and I've talked to so many times and really helped out, and they've helped out me. And you guys, this is so reminiscent of what happened when we came into the gospel. When I started telling my Christian friends that everybody was going to heaven, that everybody was righteous, that everybody was perfect because of the sacrifice of Yeshua, because of the sacrifice of Christ. They cut me out. They never. You would think that if they were concerned about me, if they were concerned about my eternal destination, if they were concerned just as a person that had come through their lives in their sojourn, that at some point they would have picked up the phone and said, dude, you okay? Nothing. And that basically has, I have not talked to Mike. I have not talked to Jeff Robertson. I have not talked to Barris. I have not talked to Richard Mull. These are people that I love and that I adore. And they credit me with a lot of good stuff. It is crazy. It is insane. We're going to be getting into why I think that this has happened. You might find it interesting. I think you will. Danny, you got anything else for us?
I don't know. I was just kind of hoping to. Well, one thing that Mike did say was, it seemed on the one of the letters that he wrote, he said that, you know, you guys had agreed to show up on each other's shows.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that was through email or what, but since you guys haven't actually talked to each other over the phone, I should know. Was that actually set through email or just wasn't set?
No. Mike just picked up on that. I don't know who told him that, because I know he's not getting the newsletter or whatever. I've talked about it on the show. And I can envision that. You guys, I've had so many wonderful reconciliations. Mike alluded to that. He knows. I mean, that's one of the hardest things. He took this thing for whatever. I'm going to talk about why I think it happened, what I've observed and what I know. And it's full. And as Brian Foley pointed out, this perspective is full of grace. It is full of peace. It is full of reconciliation.
Right.
We're going to be talking
about that vibrator story from Dina Lynn. I think that was the final straw. Was that right?
But that had nothing. Well, but that.
That was unfortunate. Let's admit it.
No, that was not unfortunate. That was a beautiful thing.
It was unfortunate.
No, it was not. And again, Greg giving his opinion, which he has a right to do. Hey, Danny, can you hold on during the best of Mike segment, because this is a wonderful. We're going to shift gears here for a second.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking about the importance of why it's important to understand that the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets specifically and only are inspired. Why I think they are, and I know you guys will have some good stuff to add to it. This is from a webcast earlier in the year, and. We are going to just dovetail right now into the best of Mike Williams segment and listen to our theme music as we go to Australia's very own, the lovely and talented Kate Benham. I am not a Christian.
I am not a Christian.
Exactly.
The world is won. I am not a Christian. I believe the battle's won. I am not. And I believe the kingdom's come. I am not a Christian. One light lit up everyone. I am not a Christian. Yeah, well, I am not.
Ironically, this came from an email from Scott Johnson, the aforementioned, who flipped me off earlier on the webcast, and I flipped him right back. I love that boy. Also from Alaska, by the way. It's a big Alaska night here on the Good News on Glenn Klein Online. This came from an email from Scotty Johnson. Calls today. All right, this comes from the Aristotle, the Socrates of the Gospel Revolution up there in Anchorage, Alaska, Scott Johnson. He says, I understand your teaching about the New Testament not being inspired, but that makes me wonder, what does it mean for the law, the Psalms, and the prophets to be scripture and to be inspired? What does it mean? Does it mean God wrote it and it's infallible, or what? That's Scott Johnson from beautiful Anchorage, Alaska.
Yes. Next.
The answer is yes, God inspired it, God wrote it. And why do you feel that way? People probably have picked up on that, but it's a legitimate question.
And
we believe that it was inspired by God. We believe that God through man wrote it. Why do we believe that?
Well, this has to do with the entire redemption of the world, and if the scriptures are not inspired of God, that they are not God's thoughts, if you will, let's put it that way,
if these are not God's thoughts and God's words, as much as translations have done them pretty ill work over the centuries, but still the heart of these writings still comes through. The big picture is there. It is so profoundly there that even with mistranslation, it's still there. And if you know, it, listen, we're talking about God. we are coming from a standpoint of believing in God, the creator of the universe, and the one who brought his son to this earth to redeem the world. We're talking about big stuff, and this can't be something that we have to rely on coming out of the heart and the mind of man. If this did not come out of the heart and the mind of God, we have nothing more than what any other religion on the face of the earth does. The fact that we are able to break away from all religions on planet Earth and say that exclusively the law, the Psalms, and the prophets are scriptures is huge. That's beyond huge, especially in the Christian community, which all of us have found our way out of, staggering, bleeding, and dying, running, jumping, screaming, happy. Whichever way we came out, we have made our way out.
Having church raids and stuff?
Yeah, and speaking of the current emailer. Yeah, I do think that is the case. And because we're talking about things eternal here, and
well, here's another thing: we get to look at those writings.
That's enough.
Let's enjoy some Bob Marley. In the name of the Lord, it's Bob Marley. Special dedication out Danny Minasconian's way to our brother Ron Fox in Palm Springs, California. That's some great stuff, you guys. I mean, that's melancholy for me to hear the interaction between Michael and me talking about some really profound stuff.
It certainly is. Glenn, I've been thinking a lot the last month about my exit from the Vineyard Church where I was the worship pastor. I think that was my title.
Right.
And it's very similar. It was a really strange, and I have to say I wasn't yet involved with any of the Gospel Revolution stuff at the time I left. But you know, and it was mainly politics, I think, is more my... Well, I think there's a lot of politics going on in this one, too.
No, all right, you know what? There's total politics going on this. But before we get into all that, we got Danny Minasconian from California, Greg Ambergy from Ohio, Glenn Klein online here in Tampa, Florida, Sean O'Halloran still able to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. We'd love to get your comments tonight. This has been a great show so far, you guys. 800-436-3260. Let's talk specifically for a second about the gospel. Let's talk about the scriptures and the importance and why it's important to understand that those specific writings were inspired by the Almighty. And so many people, you guys, and this does, Greg, have to do with our coming out of Christianity. So many people who come out of Christianity, as Mike so eloquently talked about, you know, bleeding and hurting and limping and skipping and being happy, however people came out of Christianity. They want to throw out the baby, if you will, with the bathwater. They want to throw out the whole thing. Obviously, on some level, Christianity embraces what the actual scriptures are, which are the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. They also want to include the book of Proverbs. They also want to include Lamentations and Ecclesiastes and the book of Esther and things that are not scripture, not to mention the New Testament writings. But the critical thing, you guys, is to know that Yeshua himself defined the scriptures as the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. And when you read them in openness, you get to see the incredible foreshadowing and the types and shadows of what Yeshua would do, what he came to do. It was the prophets. It was the law. It was the Psalms that proclaimed this oneness that we enjoy, this righteousness that we enjoy. We've been enjoying it for a couple thousand years, you guys, but this is going to be going on forever. We think we're so haughty-taughty. Here we are in 2012. We got it all figured out. You guys, this we are just scratching the surface. This is just...
I should say, in a very few of us were understanding this gospel. I mean, you know this, 2,000 years of history since the cross, and, you know, people didn't get it, you know, and no thanks in part to guys like Peter and John, and misunderstandings of Paul, you know, that kind of thing.
We just got an email on the Facebook from Joe Winslow, and he said, "You and Mike were like Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man. Love you, bro." I like that. you know, Greg, we're just starting to understand the implications of the gospel. This is one of the things that is so upsetting to me personally, is that,
you know,
my excommunication out of this thing doesn't just represent me being kicked out. It represents people taking a stand that is so reminiscent of Christianity, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember what you were talking about with the scriptures and throwing the baby out with the bathwater, just before Mike and you started talking on the webcast about the scriptures being the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, I had found a website, because I was really just ready to chuck all religion whatsoever, and including Christianity, and there, I came upon a website that had listed a lot of biblical contradictions, and I remember a bunch of them were in... like Judges, 1 and 2 Kings, which we don't consider they're historical, you know, from an oral tradition, you know, that sort of thing. But they're not scripture. They're not law, songs, and prophets. And some of the stuff in the Gospels where there were direct contradictions that you couldn't really deny. And I remember having some of the explanations I'd heard for some of these things as I was growing up, as we would stumble upon them maybe when reading the Bible. And I was ready to throw this all out. And when the understanding came that the scriptures were the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, it allowed me to embrace the Bible that I grew up with, the scriptures that I grew up with. It allowed me to go, that makes complete sense to me now. And that was just the biggest thing for me personally.
Right. Here's the bottom line, you guys. If you're going to believe in a God, and I, of course, have friends and family who are atheists. Of course. I hope you do, too. But if you're going to believe in a God, I think it's logical to believe in God. I think it's logical to believe in a creator. When you see a magnificent creation, if you see a magnificent painting, and you ask the most staunch atheist, did somebody paint that? They will tell you, yes, somebody painted that. If you ask the atheist who says that somebody created that painting, do you know who they are? They will say no, if they don't. Do you know what his or her name is? No. Do you know what their voice sounds like? No. Do you know where they lived, where they came from, how they were born, how they were created? No. But you're absolutely 100% convinced somebody painted that. They will say yes. Why? Because it's logical. When you see such a magnificent creation, oh, I don't know, like call the universe and the galaxies, the Milky Way, the Earth, the Sun, the Moon, the stars. It is
or even Kate Benham.
Especially Kate Benham. Not even Kate Benham. You you will say, yes, of course, logically, somebody made that. We don't know more than that. But if it's possible that there was a God that created the entire galaxy, the entire universe, is it not possible that God also gave down an oral tradition that it was eventually written down to proclaim what his ultimate purpose was through this guy named Yeshua HaMashiach? That wasn't even his name. His name was Yeshua Joshua Ben Joseph, or Joshua Josephson, if you will. I did a
Joshua son of Joseph.
I did a message at one of the Gospel Revolution conventions entitled
Houston.
Joshua, yeah, in Houston, Joshua Josephson. That's his name. If you say Jesus Christ is a swear word, you're not using the Lord's name in vain. Even if you would say Joshua Josephson, you're not. You can't use the Lord's name in vain, you guys. All right, we got a couple more minutes left. We've got Danny Minasconian's on the phone, as well as Greg Ambergy, Danny from Cali, Greg from the Buckeye State. All right, so you guys, here's what happens, and here's what we understand because of the teaching of Michael L. Williams, is that we have been imputed with righteousness, redemption, sanctification, and wisdom. And we have learned through the brilliance and the genius that is Michael Williams that when the gospel is meditated upon, and Don, we had some fun with you tonight from Wasilla, but no, the gospel is the power of God, brother, unto salvation. It is the power of God, regardless of what else happens. Yes, there is a humanity is not doomed. Humanity has, we're not doomed at all. We're heaven-bound. We're perfect. We're righteous. We're all good to go. That everybody has had this righteousness and this wisdom that has been, literally, we're born in righteousness and wisdom, you guys. And that when the gospel gets to the point where you're meditating on it consistently, persistently, and repetitively, that you become an observer of your own life. And I've observed some things in my life, you guys, because of this gospel, because I received the teachings of Michael and the teachings that Michael produced out of the scriptures and out of the wisdom that was imparted and imputed into his heart. And here's what I've observed in this situation. That this is a very, very normal, unfortunate, but normal occurrence. Mike is a human being that has got tendencies and that has a pattern like we all have patterns of behavior, you guys. It doesn't make us better or worse than anybody else. It makes us human. And when we are under stress, which we're under stress all the time, because we live on a planet that is dominated by gravity. Gravity is always pushing down on us. So we're always under pressure, if you will. And the greatest pressure, the greatest stress that we have in life is change. And Michael was gearing and is gearing up for some major change in his life, and I was going through some major change in my life when this all went down. This is what I've observed. This is what I've seen now in the rearview mirror in retrospect. And the stress that I was under was actually some good change. Change is the number one stressor, you guys. Even good change. And what I was experiencing, I had some good things happening in my professional life. Dina had come into my life. She was coming to visit me. There was some really, really good change coming, but it was stressful. And what we all do when we're stressed, the most natural thing to do in the world is to go back to what we are familiar with. And what I'm familiar with, frankly, you guys, is pushing the envelope. And so when Dina and I met on Facebook, it was unusual, and we fell in love. We expressed our love publicly, and then I came up with this idea for Facebook Love, and then Dina did it. And we just pushed it, man. We went on Facebook and we started adding friends of ours that were on Facebook. That's what you do when you start a group. Many of those friends that I have are also Gospel Revolution friends. Now, that's what we were doing. And we were emoting and relating to each other on the webcast in a very intimate way. I thought it was cute. I thought it was wonderful. Mike thought that it wasn't a great idea. We talked about it, but there was no hint of that this was going to be it. And then Mike was under tremendous stress, too. Our dear brother Richard Mull is very ill. Michael's got stress like everybody else does with finances. The book was about to be finished. Mike's whole life is could change very quickly as the book takes off. He's going to go from a very sedentary and mellow life there in Houston to maybe a nationwide or worldwide book tour. We had this Kenyan School of the Scriptures start with Moses Gata out there in Nakuru Town, Kenya. They were inviting him to Kenya. It's the last thing Mike wanted to do in the world. And then here comes more financial pressure to get the book out. And then here comes the pressure of people talking about what the hell in the world is Glenn and this woman, Dina, doing. And then on that Saturday, that fateful Saturday, June 2nd, I went to a baseball game. And Michael couldn't contact me. He didn't try to contact me by phone. I was at a baseball game with Dina. And Mike started with some emails. And Michael went back to what he knew. When he doesn't get responded to promptly and he wants to be, he can go off the rails. And instead of sitting down and getting some of his own CDs on or listening to a webcast, he started calling people. Now, we already talked about earlier in the evening that he did not call Sean, did not call Greg, did not call Danny. I call
Well, in fairness, I mean, he doesn't have my number. I've never talked to him.
He could have if he wanted. I'm just making a point here. He called people that he knew would give him the answer that he was looking for at that moment. And
right.
And frankly, he got the answers that he wanted. These are people that I thought were friends of mine that I have not heard from since. They were people that, for whatever cultural reason, personal reason, did not appreciate me pushing the envelope, even though the fact of the matter is, without me pushing the envelope, the gospel revolution as it is today would not exist. I, out of stress, went back to what I was familiar with. Michael, out of stress, went back to what he's familiar with, and here we are. And frankly, to this point, both out of stress, both Michael and me and other people responding the way they do, it's based on what we're familiar with, because that's what we do, you guys. That's what human beings do. They return for the good, the bad, and the ugly to what we're familiar with. The challenge is to be more familiar with who we actually are in Christ than our experience as children and as teenagers and young adults. That's who we actually are. We actually are wise. We actually are sanctified. We actually are righteous and redeemed. We don't have to be those old kids. We can actually deal with things in a mature way, in an open way, in an out-of-the-box way, in a wise way. What an amazing opportunity we have. I want to encourage you guys to get out of your box, to get out of the to think out of the box a little bit. There's a better way to do this thing called life, and it's all resident already in your heart. It's already there. Everything you need, you guys, you have. Everything that you have, everything that you need has been given to you pertaining to life and godliness in the Mashiach, in that Jewish man named Joseph, or named Yeshua, Joshua, Josephson, Ben Joseph, Ben Yosef. That's good preaching, Roberts.
That was profound.
Thank you. You guys, this has been, listen, this last month, and we already talked about earlier, next week's program, our July 4th program, I've already recorded. Greg's heard it. Chris Harrington's Reality. It deals a little bit more with this. And then I think, unless something dramatic happens, we're going to be ready to move on. This has been, you know, a hell of a time for me and a hell of a time for a lot of people around the planet. Just know, you guys can call me anytime. I had a little exchange with Jackie Barnard on Facebook. I love Jackie. I know that guy loves me. I haven't heard from him. He has a couple of acerbic things to say about your email, Danny, on the Good News on Glenn Klein Online Facebook. You guys, come on. Come on.
Come on, guys, give Glenn a call.
No, that's not what I'm saying. We can do better than this. We're better than this. We're better than the old Christian habit of just pretending that people never existed. Are you kidding
me? Yeah.
Jesus.
Jesus.
That's exactly right.
Well, we know it's not it. The right name, so it's okay.
No, that's exactly right. Jesus, it's of Zeus. Of Zeus! I'll say of
Yeshua.
Zeus! That's Yeshua. Danny, thank you so much, brother. I'm going to be in Southern California tomorrow, my brother.
Yeah, I think you mentioned on Sunday. I'll probably be a bit. You're going to be. Is your son in San Diego?
My son's in the San Diego, and my folks are in the LA area. I'll give you a call when I get up there on Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, very good.
All right, Danny, thank you so much. Stay in touch, okay?
You got it.
Here's Danny Minascani from Studio City, California. Wow. All right, my brother, Gregory.
Glenn, wrapping up another good news show. I love it. It's only going to get better because I think we're going to branch out into a lot of good news that happens every week. We're going to talk about it as it relates to the gospel, and it's going to be awesome.
You know, here's some good news for you guys that was in the news last night. As we go off tonight, Nora Ephron died, the great writer and screenwriter and director of movies. And what a wonderful thing it is to know, because of the sacrifice of the Mashiach, of the Messiah, that that genius of a woman is now and forever at peace with God, no matter what she believes.
I'm with you.
No doubt. That's some good preaching as well. On this Wednesday night, the last Wednesday of June 2012, thank you guys so much. I cannot recommend next week's show enough. Let some folks know about us. Like us on the good news on Glenn Klein Online on Facebook. Go to glennklineonline.com and sign up for the newsletter, and let us hear from you, this week. Have a wonderful couple of weeks. You guys, no calls next week, but we'll talk to you, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise, on July 11th will be our next live webcast.
There will be a July 4th webcast.
Yes, with Chris Harrington's Reality.
Yes.
We thank so much Sean O'Halloran and Danny Minascanians. And Gregory, thank you, and I love you, my brother.
I love you too, my brother.
Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!
Though I know that when you're dead, you can't. A free man in my grave than living as a puppet or a slave. So as sure as the sun will shine, I'm gonna get my share now. What's mine? And then the harder they come, the harder they fall. Wanna know? We'll be right back.